All right. So, anyone got something particular they want to talk about today?
Well, I'll start because I had a super good morning reading the Bible, listening to some Ian Clayton and Melchizedek, and that shot me off into La La Land. I'm always on some rabbit trail. And so when we had learned about going to our storehouses and we practice and the things that I have seen in my storehouses, I kind of ended up there again this morning. And then I looked around and I saw that there was a door that I hadn't noticed before. And so I opened the door and walked through, and I saw all these different kinds of provisions, which were different from the, I call it the main entry, the main storehouse. The main storehouse seemed like it had everything for ministry. It, like the equipping for ministry, everything had to do with ministry. And at that time, I had not seen personal provisions. And so when I opened the door, that's where my personal provisions were. And so when I walked through the door, it was laid out really different. It wasn't like Costco warehouse or some kind of just like a closet full of just stuff thrown everywhere. It was like I was on this trail, and as I walked down the trail, there were things like a beautiful chair. Oh my gosh, just the most gorgeous chair. And then I walked past that, and hanging from a branch of a tree are sunglasses. And then I keep walking, and there's a car. You know, this, it was neat that as I traveled on this trail, those things that I wanted and or needed, the provisions, just came at different intervals. Instead of being overwhelmed by this huge space with all this stuff, it was a part of the journey, and it came to me as I needed it or wanted it. And oh, it was really nice, because I think otherwise I'd be overwhelmed by a place full of stuff, you know. And so it looked like the trail, you know, I've been hiking and just seeing the valleys and the snow-capped mountains, and it was very organic, is what I want to say. It was like it organically was laid out as I went. And so it was neat to see something that was unique to me. And so I that was really, really special this morning.
All right, yeah. Well, I mean, I think a lot of it is actually unique to us. And when you say your storehouse, are you talking about that which was in your own mountain? Are you talking about you've engaged with sort of
No,
Melchizedek's
my own
stories?
mountain.
Yeah,
Yeah.
your own. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, often if you think about it, you know, our mountain is really thinking about government. So often the first things we're thinking about when we engage that storehouse is the things we need for what we're doing in the kingdom. But, you know, God knows what we have need of. So if you think about it, we seek first the kingdom. So you're
This
seeking first the kingdom and the resources that you need for the kingdom. But he also knows what we have need of, so all those things get added. So it makes a little bit of logical sense that that's the first stuff you see, and then you actually realize that his provision is there for everything that you need. And actually, in reality, you know, he also takes note of the desires of our heart as well. So there's blessing there for us because he loves us, and you know, he wants us to feel blessed. I mean, he blessed Jesus with, you know, some gifts when he was born. as a sign. So why not us? So I think there's a whole lot of dimensions there which would be very personal. And also, in some of those things, could be symbolic as well. You know, so, you know, when it's like a chair, what does that mean to you? Is it something you want, a physical chair, a desire for a physical chair? Or also, because sometimes God can actually, in some of those things, begin to give us some insight into some things as well. Because the chair may be a physical chair, but also it could be actually a seat, or another seat of government, or another realm of government. I mean, there's all sorts of ways that could be, you know.
Because I do dream, so I totally understand. And even seeing the vehicle, not only a real vehicle, but a new way of going in a different direction. It's all new and shiny. So yes, I understand.
Yeah, which is great, you know, and I think it's good that that we're just open for the revelation that comes from when we experience Him, because it is a living relationship, and He wants to communicate with us in ways which we will relate to, which you related to. You know, other people get different ways of communicating that they will relate to. For me, it's like I get much more, hey, He tells me stuff, you know, so I don't get so much as the, oh, I'm on this visual thing and I see this there. I just will hang out and He'll tell me, you know, because that's the way we seem to hang out. And, you know, that's my love language, I guess, in terms of with Him, is just, hey, time, quality time of being with Him. And then, you know, the revelation that comes out of that and the things He wants to tell me. But we're all different, you know, and it's all equally valid, you know. And to be honest, it's like not something I don't really think too much about storehouses from my own perspective. I guess I have a relationship in which I trust that He'll provide whatever I need whenever I need it for whatever I'm doing. So
I think you're right, because that trust issue, by me seeing it, because I've lacked that trust in that area, and so by seeing it, I was like reminded, oh yes, so yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, which is good, isn't it? Because it shows the unique individual nature that God knows exactly what you need, and He will remind and encourage, so that you get to the point where actually you so trust that you don't actually even think about whether He will provide or what He'll provide. You just know He will, and you know He will in whatever's needed for the right things. And I think once we begin to engage in some of the realms of heaven and legislating in the realms of heaven, you actually begin to be able to logistically administer some of the things that are there and release them into other places and situations and people, and realize that, you know, God has a whole lot of ordinances that are ready to administrate and release resources and blessings and provision, you know, into spheres of government that we have authority in. Which is great, you know, it's all good, isn't it? Yeah. So, yeah, cool. Anything else?
Well, I've been doing the Alpha Group stuff and thinking that I would be kind of pressing through a little quicker than I am, but it is so unique that it brings up the littlest issue of, in a way, I would say a character issue or a thought process that God's like, yeah, gotta clean up this grid of thinking, and then I listen to something else, oh, there's another grid of thinking, you gotta change that, and it surprised me how far I'm not going. I'm not going very fast, but it's all quality for sure. It's been so good, and I really want to thank you and appreciate all that material, and yeah, it's just, you know, the freedom to go at your own pace, and which is good, because I would be behind the pack, I think, but still going.
Sure. Yeah. So you're still working through the journey preparation stuff?
Yes. Just, it surprised me that, because I think I feel like I've turned over every possible stone I could ever think of, and there's more. I was like, oh my gosh.
Oh yeah.
Well, yeah. It's all good.
Just think when we get on to the transformation stuff.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. I need it now.
Yeah. It's, but you know, but it isn't a race. It is for people to take at their own pace. And you know, when it gets onto the second module, and you know, which is sort of more about the preparing our spirit and building our spirit and being able to engage when we need to in the different realms, then you know, it all comes down to practice, you know. And yeah, just because someone listens to the material doesn't really mean that they're living it or practicing it, or that they can do it when they need to, rather than when it spring sort of almost involuntarily happens. And that takes some you know, serious practice. So, you know, a lot of people say, oh, well, I've listened to it. My question would be, okay, well, how much of it are you living? How much of it is a lifestyle? How much is that which you're out working every day in what you do, rather than how much do you know intellectually? Because it isn't about intellectual knowledge.
Nope.
You know, you have some amazing theologians that know more intellectual knowledge about the Bible than I would ever even imagine I could know, but they're not necessarily living it. You know, I'd rather live 10 verses in the truth of the word as a foundation of my life than know all the rest of the verses and intellectually and not live them. So it takes time to develop that and grow that in us, so that we can begin to outwork these things in our own lives. And also, of course, prepare to be able to mentor those who are coming behind. I mean, that's the key. You know, even if we can do something ourselves, if we don't know how to teach the next person how to do it, then they won't relate to where we are. So even if some of the exercises may be very simple for some people, they may not be simple for the people who are coming. So having a personal testimony ourselves in them will be helpful to be able to relate to those in the future. So, you know, it's...
In a way, it feels like when I'm studying, like there's a cobweb, like you can feel this little thing across your face, or that's when I catch that cleaning house on just little things, because it's not a big deal, but it is definitely cleaning up the thoughts or a untruth that you had learned that came up. And it's just that soft, but it's definitely annoying. You want to get rid of it.
Well, but then, for me, you know, I've been through this process over years, and it does challenge religious mindsets. That's what it did for me. It was my thinking, which were religious assumptions and things I'd been taught all my life, that now were like, no, that's not the truth. Actually, that whole way of thinking is not the truth. That way of engaging is not the truth. So, you know, over the years, for me, everything has been about changing the way I think. To align with the revelation of my experience with God, not the other way around. I mean, I think, you know, we must have encounters and revelatory experiences, because that's the reality. It's a relationship. It's not a series of instructions in a book. You know, it's a relationship with the living God in the living Word, so that we can live out of that relationship. And I need to experience that. There are no relationships in reality which are theoretical. If they're not if we don't engage, then there isn't a relationship. So, I think a lot of this for me in my own life was about actually learning to actually intimately relate to God, rather than read a book about Him or talk to him as if he wasn't there, or try and pray to a god that's somewhere else, and all those things, you know. So yeah, it's certainly an ongoing process, and none of that stuff is really designed for actually that. So, but there is some stuff coming in the future which probably will be designed specifically for, okay, let's get transfigured, you know, by the renewing of our mind, not for information, but by experience. Because I think that's the key. I think a lot of people can try and renew their mind by, okay, I'm going to believe something different, where the reality is we need to engage with the relationship with God, behold him and become like him, so that it's not like, well, what should I be thinking? We need to go back and look at his thoughts. And the more intimate we are with him in being close to him, we will think and know his thoughts. How vast are the sum of the thoughts he has about us? Well, we're going to get them not from reading a book per se, but actually spending time with him and getting a heart-to-heart download and having the revelation of his thoughts revealed and going back into his heart in eternity and experiencing them. You know, if I'm going to be transformed, the purpose of transformation, according to Romans 8, is that I will be conformed to his image, not conformed, according to Romans, the image of the world. So what mold should I be made in? Well, the mold is the thoughts and his intentions for me that I can experience if I actually go back into what was in his heart, you know, which is a place then. It's not then, oh, I need to try and change my thinking. It's like, no, I begin to think like he does. So I think about myself the way he thinks about me, which is so much easier than coming up with a, well, I need to try and think differently. You know, yeah. And we've all tried that. You know, I mean, I've confessed the word and spoken it out and tried to, by confessing it, believe it. The reality is when God tells me, I don't need to try and believe it. I actually believe it because I trust him, you know, which makes a huge difference. So, all good.
Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome.
I call it willful osmosis.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, because that's really what it is, isn't it? When you think about it, let me turn my light on. It is, if we draw near to him, we will begin to absorb the revelation of his heart. It's this heart-to-heart download. You know, I think I was listening to Ian talk about it the other day, and he was saying, you know, watching people, how they hug each other and how they connect intimately, most people connect right side to right side, which isn't heart-to-heart. Actually, heart-to-heart is left side to left side, which means a different way of engagement, so our hearts can be connected to one another, with God, but also with people, because we need to have also relationships and openness and heart-to-hearts with each other. Because when we begin to engage, we, as you say, it's that osmosis process that draws from others into ourselves in the right way, and particularly obviously with God and in terms of those things that God wants us to be living in the revelation of. So yeah, it's really good.
So I have these experiences when I hug people, where I can actually experience a real connection with them, or it's a hug almost for appearance sake, or, you know, because it's the right thing to do, but there's no intimacy in it. You can feel that in the spirit, it seems like.
Yeah. Yeah, and just going through the motions, really.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously people do that with God. You know, they go through the motions, they go through their duty, they turn up in their church meetings every week, and it's like they sit in the pews and they're doing their duty, but there's no intimacy and relationship. And there's no, you know, for a lot of people, that's their Sunday duty, and the rest of the week, there is nothing, you know, where, you know, it has to be 24/7 in... We have to know what his heart is, and how do we hope to be able to do what he's doing if we're not close enough to it? And it's down to us to draw near. You know, so he says, you know, draw near to me, and I'll draw near to you. You know, he's done all the drawing nearing he needs to do, and he's opened up the veil for us to draw near and come close to him. And he's just wanting us to step in and do that. But there's a totally different connection that you have when you know and you can feel the embrace that carries with it the desire and the heart for the person, you know. And as you say, you know, you can tell, and I think God can tell as well whether we're really serious and where our heart's at, you know. So yeah.
Well, I just have to do a little side story. My work, I work in a government building department, and we are the huggiest group of people. I love it. I work in a really good place to practice.
Yeah, well, it's good. You know, it's a, you know, there's a sense of, you know, an openness and a heart in that, but, you know, it's a natural thing, but actually, you know, it's a picture of God's heart. And I think if you look at John, you know, so he had his head on Jesus's breast, and I think he was close to him in intimacy. You know, he described himself as the one that Jesus loved. I mean, it's a pretty intimate thing to say. I mean, I don't know what the other disciples felt, or whether they looked and thought, "Oh, I wish I could do that," or they looked and thought, "He's a bit weird," or I don't know where they were at, but he was the one that was able to describe himself like that. And in doing that, it's not surprising that he had, in his writings, a deeper revelation of many of the things that we're engaging in now. Whereas the other Gospels are very much more factual accounts of Jesus' life and what he did. I mean, you know, John has the I ams. You know, I am the bread of life, I am the resurrection of life, I am the way, the truth. None of the other Gospels have that. So there's something that he's picked up. Now, you know, even maybe the others heard it, but they didn't get the significance of what he was saying. You know, you have the whole woman at the well issue, and then, you know, rivers of living water. You know, you have that in John 7. None of the other Gospels contained those type of things. And then the whole discourse in, you know, in John sort of 12 to 17 of Jesus was giving this revelation before he was going to the cross, you know, of intimacy, of love, of joy, of peace, of what was to come. And it's an amazing thing for me. And I just think no wonder he was able to step into the Spirit and actually look into heaven and step into heaven, because he had revelation that not everyone seemed to have, because he was able to engage the heart of God in intimacy and know what love really is, you know. And I think, you know, we need to also be able to lean into God like he did, that leaning, drawing, connecting, embracing. You know, I've sort of experienced so much more a depth of understanding of God's embrace and what it is to be embraced by him over the last few months, just simply because I've been looking at first love. And, you know, the next module on the Alpha thing will be first love. And, you know, I intended it to be one session and not a module. But as I began to, you know, I opened my first love gate every day, and I look to embrace God, but often it would be so that we could go somewhere, or so that we could do something, or so that he would show me what he wants me to do. And for about 6 weeks or so, I opened my first love gate, and he embraced me, and he wouldn't let me go. And he just wanted me to stay in the embrace and understand the depth of that embrace and what it did in a revelation of who he is and who I am embraced by him. And it took me into personally engaging deeper in understanding of the Holy Spirit and just in being embraced by the Holy Spirit and being embraced by Jesus and being embraced by the Father and really realizing just how much I don't know. You know, it just opened my eyes to a depth of actually I am is in me. You know, it's like the reality of what is I am. I mean, God described himself obviously to Moses in Exodus as I am that I am as his name, but what does that mean? What does it really mean to embrace the I am? You know, and Jesus talks so much about the I am. You know, and that's why I think, you know, this intimacy reveals the I am nature of God and what that means for us. Because, you know, I am, I mean, particularly John 14, the whole chapter is a unveiling of what I am means from the perspective of us being dwelling places of God and being in the same relationship that Jesus said, you know, where I am, there you may be also. He wasn't describing a place. He was describing a relationship of intimacy. Because then he says, I am in the Father, and the Father's in me. Then he goes on to say, I think in verse 20, you know, on that day, basically the day of resurrection, you will know that I'm in you. And it just then goes on to talk about them coming and making their home with us, all that intimacy of I am. You know, and I just began to experience that at a completely different level and just the unveiling of what that really means. That I have, you know, I've got the omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient God dwelling in me as I am, which means that I have access to go anywhere, do anything, and know anything. Because he is in me in relationship. And you know, I'm becoming joined to him. I think sort of the 1 Corinthians 6:17, whoever is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him, is all about that place of intimacy, of being embraced, of embracing, of connecting, of being joined in that that deeper level of intimacy, this sort of deep calling to deep. You know, it's such a deep level. So much so that, you know, my one session is probably going to turn into 12 sessions simply because I just could not envisage being able to move on without helping people to know what that embrace is and to experience that embrace and then to begin to engage in I am. I mean, even one of those statements, you know, I am the resurrection and the life. I mean, not a theological statement, but what is it to experience the resurrection and the life in the I am that's in me? Well, that could take a while if we spent some time just meditating and engaging and being embraced by the resurrection and the life, and then actually by osmosis, by, you know, cardiogenosis, I think one of the phrases is being passed around at the minute, that sort of absorbing and experiencing what it is to engage with the resurrection and the life. No, and then the bread of life, or the light of the world, or the door, or the good shepherd. You know, these, you know, and even the thing of, you know, one of the other things Jesus said is, you know, before Abraham was, I am. That we can connect to eternity that's in us. In that statement, you know, because before Abraham was, yes, he was, and he is, and he is, and will be, and he is, I am. And it's like there's a wealth of personal experience of God and intimacy with him which just comes out of that, you know. You know, and I could break that down and go to one session on one of those statements, and we could practice that. But I haven't got time. I mean, it's like, you know, I have to rein myself in when it comes to that stuff and just sort of give people a taster and encourage people to go and explore it themselves. You know, so we did this on Sunday. You know, we did some just exercises of engagement, and it was just like, okay, now let's embrace one of those I am statements, and encounter it and experience it.
Could we do that exercise with you today? Because I almost want to just hang up and go do what you just said.
Yeah, we can. Yeah, sure.
So, listen, could we do that?
Yeah, we could. Yeah, sure. Because, you know, it is such a wonderful place of intimacy, you know, in which, you know, I mean, I got to be honest, I thought I knew all this because I've experienced it at a level. And my probably level of experience would probably be deeper than a lot of people's experiences, but that wasn't enough for God, and it wasn't enough for other people, because I have to be able to pass that on now, you know, and encourage people to explore that and experience it. So yeah, we can definitely do that. If you got any questions you want to ask first, but we could definitely look to encounter that and experience it and engage in it, absolutely.
I would definitely like to do that, but I have a question about my whole experience in this, and that is, like, when I open that door and I encounter Jesus and I embrace him, it's almost like we melt together. It's no longer a body, it's like we become light together almost.
Yeah.
My difficulty is in staying in those things.
Right.
Is there a exercise or process that I can do? Because I want to stay in these things longer, and it seems like I see images very quickly. I've been unable to completely explore them. I hear other people giving amazing detail about the things they see, and I don't get all those details.
Sure, yeah. Well, I think the thing to do is to, again, realize that you are unique and you're you, and look to engage the whole of your senses. It isn't just a cognitive thing. So I think sometimes our cognitive desire to understand something can get in the way of our spirit receiving an impartation and an experience and a revelation of that which is beyond what our mind can contain, and will eventually begin to conform our mind to the experience that we've received. So a lot of it is relaxing. You know, it's just relaxing and not having an agenda, but just relaxing into, okay, I'm going to engage and I'm going to allow my spirit to engage, and I'm going to allow my spirit then to receive that osmotic whatever it is, you know, the revelation, the experience, the knowledge, the encounter that actually then begins to shape us according to that which we've experienced. You know, it's like we become like that which we behold, and our beholding is not just seeing. It's actually experiencing. So it may be, you may have a hugely emotional encounter as just embraced by the love of God, and God being love as well as light and as well as being spirit, he's love. Embracing that, what will that do to me to truly know that I'm loved at the deepest possible level in my life? You know, how will that change how I then outwork my identity? You know, some of the other things is like, you know, when we are embraced with God, some of the things I encourage people to experience is, okay, let God reveal to you some of the vast, some of the thoughts that he has. How do you begin to see yourself the way he sees you? Well, he begins to reveal, this is how I see you. This is who you are from my perspective. This was your eternal shape, if you like. And that can come in many different ways, but the key is that we live from that experience. It's not that we necessarily need all the cognitive understanding, but our spirit then begins to envelop our soul and manifest around our, through our body, so that we live in that encounter all the time, and we're sensitive to the flow of the life of God that's coming through us. And you know, I began to practice that. You know, I practiced refocusing my attention to go back into that. Hey, I am flowing in the life of God, and the river of life is flowing through me. By, you know, simply for me, it was a simple thing. I used to set my watch, my alarm, to beep every so often. And every time it did, I would recenter my thinking and to go back into that place so that I was coming out of that. Because ultimately, we want to go from experiencing visitations of encountering God into habitation and living in that realm continually connected. So that my soul and body are here, my spirit is actually in another realm, but totally connected, totally cognitively being able to feed, direct, guide my life, but coming out of the place of heaven, not the earth. Because in a sense, it's like there's the relationship pathway in which we're developing that God is in us. We're a habitation of God. We're a dwelling place of God. And that we can have intimacy in the spiritual dimensions within ourself, so that from that intimacy of God in us doing his work practically through us here and around us, so, you know, our shadow healing people, or the light shining from us and bringing revelation to people, or people coming close to us and feeling God's love because we're just overflowing with it, all very practical. And all that intimacy and the revelation of engaging with the spiritual realms around us here in this dimension, you know, all flows out of the relationship. Obviously, there's the responsibility of rulership in the realms of heaven where our spirit needs to be. But we're not supposed to be in one place or the other. We're supposed to be in both places at the same time. Mm. And that's ultimately the goal, so that we can live in that connection and flow from it, and our spirit can be administering in the kingdom while our soul is totally actively working here and be totally aware of the flow that's coming from one place to the other. Therefore, we can be in more than two places at the same time, because if I'm also in him and he is everywhere, then I also have access to be able to engage anywhere else in any dimension at the same time as being in this one. And that means I can multiply the effectiveness of what I do, you know. But, you know, that's something I think which is coming, but isn't here for most people yet. But it's part of learning how to be consciously aware of the fact that the kingdom of God, the realm where God reigns, is in us, and if we allow him to fill us with that and surrender to it, then there's this intimacy which will lead and guide and direct us all the time. But it does take practice, you know. It just takes taking, see, if you can do it for a second, then you can do it for a minute, and you can do it for an hour, and you can do it for 24 hours. It's just the same thing that you then begin to outwork and go further into. So you can do it, because obviously you do it, and you feel that sense of becoming one. Well, just keep that. Yeah. You are one. That's the reality. When you open first love and you embrace him and he embraces you, that is reality. So when you step away from that embrace in your soul, your spirit does not need to step away from that embrace, if you like. It can still ongoingly be the source of life. Because in a sense, some of the analogies would be, you know, the river of living water, or the wellspring of life, or, you know, there are descriptions there, which means it's flowing. We just have to make sure that everything's open for it to flow. Yeah. Through us and around us and out through us, so that it fulfills its purpose, you know, which is to bring life wherever it goes. And there are, you know, if you think of Ezekiel 47 and the temple, you know, there was ankle deep and knee deep and waist deep, and then completely out of depth. So there are levels of walking this so that that gets deeper and deeper, and he's calling us to go deeper. And the ultimate purpose of it was to bring life wherever it went, to turn whatever water it was, salt water, brackish water, into fresh water that other people could then drink from because it's flowing out of us. So we then become a source of life that they can engage God that's flowing through us. So I think you can definitely do it. It's just maybe changing the way you think about it to the fact that you've already got it rather than something you're trying to get or try and keep because it's already yours. It's just from it.
I have a tendency to look at things having a beginning and an end. Yeah. And I need to get out of that mindset into an eternal mindset.
Yeah, and in a sense, yes, okay, think of there's a beginning of one day and an end of one day, but then it's always a beginning of the next.
Yeah.
And so there's always the next to then engage in relationship. And then if we learn to engage while we're asleep, then actually it's ongoingly, continually, our spirit in connection and relationship. So it's good. So it's all good stuff. Yeah. So let's do some of it. It'll be good. I think it'll be great to just to practice that and just experience something of it. It's something that we do need to practice and engage in without a doubt. So I'd encourage that. So I encourage you to maybe just close your eyes. And just begin to rest and think of that door in your own spirit. Just think about the door. Just begin to picture that door, the gateway of first love. Just behold it. As Jesus said, behold, I'm standing at the door and I'm knocking. If anyone hears my voice, just listen to what he's saying. Just listen for his voice. And just reach out and see that door and open that door with the expectation of maybe Father or Jesus or the Holy Spirit just coming to embrace you. Just feel that embrace. Just allow your emotions to receive the revelation of his heart. Embrace his heart. Feel your heart burn as you draw near to his presence. Feel his love enveloping you. Feel his acceptance of you as his child. Thank you. just allow your whole being, body, soul, and spirit, become one. Just feel that embrace. Just feel the joining, the connection, the intimacy with him. Just feel your heart next to his heart. You're safe and secure in his arms. Just feel that peace and rest in just being. Just feel his joy and the pleasure of his heart, his passion for you. He just loves this intimacy. He longs for these times. Just feel his delight of being close to you. Just that wonderful overflow. The extravagance, the abundance, the overflow of mercy and grace and love flowing from his heart to your heart. Just listen as he begins to share with you how he sees you, his thoughts about you. Just receive that revelation. Sense the wonder that I am, and you are embraced by the I am, the eternal. You're at home where you always were, within his heart. As he draws you deeper and deeper into the revelation of who he is, who you are, wrapped in his presence, enveloped by him. Just receive that revelation of I am. And just begin to engage with who he is. Maybe I am the bread of life. you draw your life from him. Maybe I am the light of the world. Just let that truth be imparted, that you become that which you behold. I am the door. As you lean into that door, maybe you step through into another realm. I am the Good Shepherd. Who protects and guides and guards and leads you in and out to good pasture. I am the resurrection and the life. Your spirit just receive the resurrection and the life. Believe he just wants to draw you back into his eternal heart, where you feel totally at home. The place where you were first imagined, and where his wonderful, vast sum of thoughts about you just flash as light across his heart. Just let those thoughts of light, those flashes, just impart deeper revelation to your spirit. Flash of light contains fragrance and frequency and sound and emotion. Just absorb them. Let them be encoded within your spirit, your light strand of DNA that will begin then to shape and conform your DNA into the image and the DNA of God. Let the creative light begin to release its power in you to transform, to restore, to reconcile, to make whole. from that place of being in what was. Allow the revelation begin to change what is, which will transform what will be. As you look at the end from the beginning, encourage you just to stay in that place of intimacy as long as you can. I'm just going to sign off there. See you in a couple of weeks, but just stay there. Just draw from that intimacy with him.